A few months ago, as a family, we were driving near Calgary when an engine light came on with an error code. And I've never seen it before, so it definitely was a first for me. And I don't know about you, but you always just sit back and wonder, okay, what's going on with my car right now? And so I asked Marla to pull out the manual and look up what the code meant. And she found it in the book, and it said this: stop driving immediately. And I'm thinking, okay, that's not a good thing considering we are like 3 hours from home. And so I pulled over onto the shoulder, and I decided to call the dealership. And they asked me a whole slew of questions. I answered all of them, and then they said, you know what, I don't think you got anything to worry about. Your vehicle is fine. You can drive home, which I was very thankful about, and if the error code doesn't go off in 5 days, just make an appointment and we can reset your computer for you. So 5 days later, I'm driving the car, but the error code still does not go away. So then I phone the dealership and I make an appointment, I bring it in, and we knew it was a computer problem. And they said they're gonna have to, however, run a diagnostic on my car, and then they can reset it and everything should be fine if they don't find anything wrong with it. Well, thankfully, they didn't find anything that needed fixing. And so when I went back to the dealership to pick up my car, my assumption was that this was all under warranty. And so as they handed me my keys, they also handed me a bill to pay, to which I then said, hey, isn't this under warranty? And they said, yeah, you know, that test is only good for up to 60,000 kilometers, and your vehicle right now has 62,000 kilometers. And I'm like, oh, man, that's the worst, right? I should have, I guess, read the fine print. And then I'm thinking, what a useless warranty. I never needed it until now, but it did me no good anyway. And so I ended up shelling out the $165 for them to reset my car's computer. There are a whole bunch of promises out there that don't really hold their weight. Guarantees and warranties that, when needed, always have this fine print. And the fine print seems to favor the seller, not the buyer. Now, I'm starting a new series today entitled Promise Keeper. And this series focuses on the promises given to us from God that we can position our lives upon. They are promises that we can take to the bank, promises we can count on, promises with no fine print. And in our current time, we need some promises to stand upon, because God knows there's enough going on these days where it feels like we're sinking more than standing, where the ground isn't secure and we're not sure what else is going to get pulled away from under us. And so if you feel like you need some solid footing, this is for you. If you feel like you're slowly sinking these days, this is for you. If you feel like you need a promise to hang on to and to guide you, this is for you. Last weekend, Easter weekend, we celebrated the resurrection of Jesus. Death couldn't hold him, and he rose from the dead. After this, he spent around 40 days appearing to people, talking to them, and prepping them for what was going to happen next. He was leaving earth, but there was another person coming who would take his place, that being the Holy Spirit. He said these words, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. So Jesus said the Holy Spirit is going to come. And they are to wait for him. This was a promise that God said would happen. And so in a moment, I want to focus on this promise. But first, I just want to talk a little bit about who the Holy Spirit is. Let me give you some theology here, meaning the study of God. In much of the Christian faith, we hear prayers and speaking encased with in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. It ties the three together, meaning we believe in one God that exists in three people called the Trinity. And history has essentially been divided into three eras. It started with the oneness of God's nature and really his monarchy overall, and that was called the prominence of God the Father. And then when Christ came, the question was, would people who accepted God recognize and receive the Son of God incarnate who had all the fullness of the deity inside of them? And that's called the prominence of God the Son. And then after Jesus gathered people to receive and believe him, he was put to death, raised to life, and exalted to the Father's right hand. And from there, he then sent the Holy Spirit, which is called the prominence of the Holy Spirit. So that means right now, we are living in the period of redemptive history known as the days of the Spirit. So just as Israel of old had a responsibility to know and honor God as Father, just as the people of Palestine had a responsibility to know and honor Jesus, so now we have the responsibility to know and honor the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is not a ghost. It's not an it. It's a person. He has all the characteristics of personhood. He thinks, he speaks, he leads, and he can be grieved. At the core, the Holy Spirit is the way Jesus is present in his people. And throughout history, we can actually see his fingerprint. He was involved with creation. He came upon particular people at particular times for particular tasks. We read about that numerous times in the Old Testament. One example is just with a guy named Bezalel, where the Spirit gave him the skill of craftsmanship. Skill with gold, silver, bronze, stones, and wood, a whole bunch of stuff. A skill, just so you know, that I was clearly overlooked on. God spoke through the prophets of the Old Testament, people like Ezekiel and Joel, saying that a future promise of the Holy Spirit would come. All this was going on, and yet 300 years, this promise was unfulfilled. No one really understood the Holy Spirit other than he might come one day. Even Jesus' birth was laced with the role of the Holy Spirit. And while Jesus was on earth, he said this, "And when he comes," referring to the Holy Spirit, "he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment." Jesus talked a lot about the Holy Spirit. And at one point in talking about him, he starts a conversation to his disciples with these words. He says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me." He's setting the premise of what he's going to say next. He's saying, okay, guys, you can trust me on this. I'm going to drop something you may at first not like or understand, but trust me on this. And that means this is a guarantee for you. This is totally legit. And let me say this to you listening right now. In this world at this time, you can trust God. You can trust Jesus. He's saying, friend, trust me. Whatever you're walking through, whatever angst, fear, whatever worry you're dealing with, you can trust him. And so with the disciples, Jesus is setting the stage for what he wants to say next. And he's saying, you need to trust me, and here's my promise to you. And here's the promise that I actually want to land for all of us today. Jesus says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." The promise? You are not alone. Jesus promises the Holy Spirit and tells us what he will do for us. And in this verse, he actually calls him the counselor. Now, in case you don't know, the New Testament was written in Greek, and the word here for counselor is paraclete. And it's such a rich word in the Greek language that our English doesn't really have a favorable comparative. There are actually a whole plethora of words we could use to fully understand the role of the counselor, the role of the Holy Spirit. It's saying that he is our comforter. He is the one who strengthens us. He is our helper. He is the one to encourage us. He comes alongside of us. He speaks on behalf of the accused. He is for us. We are not alone. And so Jesus says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor." And that word "another" is also crucial. Up until this point in time, Jesus was everything for the disciples. He was their help. He was their life, their hope for the future. He taught them. He directed them. He instructed them. But now Jesus is saying, the Holy Spirit is coming, and he's going to take my place. He's going to do exactly what I did in your life. He will live with you, and he will be in you. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, will be with you. And then he says, for how long? He says, forever. Like, there's no time limit on our reliance upon the Holy Spirit. Once he's in our lives, it's forever. And so that means whatever we are facing today, tomorrow, or in the future, he is with us. You are not alone. And that's reassuring, isn't it? Because I don't know about you, but in these times, I need the Holy Spirit to be with me. I need his comfort. I need his encouragement. I need his counsel. I need him advocating for me. And what's interesting is that there's really only one prerequisite needed to have the Holy Spirit in our lives. Prior to this statement that Jesus gave, he lands it. He says it this way, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And so then, okay, the obvious question is, what did Jesus command? What did Jesus say was top priority? He said it this way, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and love your neighbor as yourself. How do you love God with all that's within you? You believe in him. You start a relationship with him and you pattern your life after his. You see, Jesus came, God in the flesh. He gave his life as a substitute for ours to pay the price we couldn't for the forgiveness of our sins. But he didn't stop there. He rose again and offers us hope and life and eternity. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Friends, through that decision, the Holy Spirit is with you forever. The Counselor is with you forever. The Comforter is with you forever. The Helper is with you forever. Jesus goes on then to say something very interesting about the Holy Spirit. He gives him another name. He gives him the name, the Spirit of Truth. Jesus actually uses this name for the Holy Spirit numerous times. And Spirit of Truth means that he is our absolute authority in every area. Jesus said, but when he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. That's key for us in our time. Jesus called the Holy Spirit the Spirit of Truth. And just so we're clear, he called the devil a liar and the father of lies. So one brings life, the other brings death. One brings hope, the other brings hopelessness. One brings clarity, the other brings confusion. And I think we need to stand on this promise, on the fact that we are not alone, and we need the Holy Spirit to be the Spirit of Truth in these times more than ever, because let's be honest, we're prone to believe the lies around us. We are susceptible to give in to some of those lies. Lies that tell us things other than what he would tell us. And so what I want to do is I want to give you two lies that we can fall prey to. There's definitely more out there, but these are two that I think are really potent and relatable. And the first one is this. My situation is too big for God. I mean, looking at the world, observing COVID-19, looking at our economy, it's a big problem. It's massive. And in addition to this, you might be walking through something that is just as big for you personally. It could be health. It could be your job situation. It could be relational tension. And at times, we can be prone to believe the lie that God can't do anything here. God won't do anything here. Let me remind you, Goliath was a giant who intimidated all of Israel. They were stuck. They were encamped. They were going nowhere. Their situation seemed overwhelming and hopeless. But not for a guy named David. He was a young man who came face to face with the giant, and he said these words, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled." And the irony is the giant was taken down with a stone. Notice the paradox here, okay? This giant that everyone thought would be impossible to beat was taken down by God through the smallest of weapons, a stone. What you're walking through right now, no doubt, it's big. But giants never scare God. Giants never intimidate God. Giants never cause him to cower. Don't believe the lie that what you are facing is too big for God. I love what a prophet in the Old Testament by the name of Isaiah wrote. He said, "No weapon formed against you will prevail, and you will refute every tongue that accuses you." He's talking about the fact that we can have a confidence in who God is with whatever it is that we are facing. So how do you defeat the lie that says, my situation is too big for God? You walk with the Spirit of truth in your life. And he says, nothing is impossible for me. Nothing is too big for me. Nothing can intimidate me. Well, that's one lie that we can believe. Second lie I want to talk about is this. God doesn't care. And let's be honest, it's easy to get there. In our world with many people dying from this virus, God doesn't care. Your life may be spiraling downward. It goes from bad to worse. God doesn't care. You've asked God for help, for him to intervene, but it's not happening in any way you want. And so you say, God doesn't care. If he did, this wouldn't be happening. I mean, how can a loving God allow this in our world right now? It kind of reminds me of something that happened with Jesus and his disciples. They actually asked him the same question. God, do you care? And Mark, a New Testament writer, he was someone who chronicled the life of Jesus. He records this incident, and I want to read it to you. It's in chapter 4. It says this, "When that evening came, he said to his disciples, 'Let us cross to the other side.' After they had dismissed the crowd, they took Jesus with them since he was already in the boat, and there were other boats with them. Soon a violent windstorm came up and the waves were breaking over the boat so that it was being swamped. But Jesus was in the stern sleeping on the cushion." I find that always humorous and somewhat comical. It goes on. So they woke him and said, "Teacher, don't you care that we are perishing?" There's the question. Don't you care? "Then Jesus got up and rebuked the wind and the sea. 'Silence,' he commanded, 'be still.' And the wind died down and it was perfectly calm." Now what you got to know is some of these guys, some of these disciples were experienced fishermen. A windstorm wouldn't have been unusual, but this time things were different. This time they thought they were going to drown. The boat was getting swamped. They were overwhelmed with this excessive amount of water, and they knew the probable outcome was they were going to sink. Maybe you are feeling swamped. You're facing an overwhelming amount of fear, of stress, of anxiety, of tension and worry. You feel like you're drowning. You can't sleep well. You can't function well. You're on more meds than you want. You're feeling swamped. And like the disciples, you're saying, "Don't you care that I'm perishing? Don't you care about me right now? Don't you care about what I'm going through?" You know, in that moment, Jesus came and he rebuked the storm. And he said three words. He said, "Silence, be still." I always found it interesting that he started that statement with the word silence. You want to know why? Because in our heads, we hear all the other voices, all the lies telling us everything that is counter from him. And he needed to speak against that in the disciples' minds, and he speaks against that to your mind today. Silence. Silence to the voice that says he isn't there. Silence to the voice that says he doesn't care. Silence to the voice that says you don't deserve his help. Silence to the voice that says, you will never recover. Silence. But he doesn't stop there. He adds two more words. He says, be still. Stay calm. It's going to be okay. Your storm is under control. I've got this. And that's exactly what the Holy Spirit does for us today. Remember, Jesus said, "I'm sending another counselor. He will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak." The Spirit of truth echoes and speaks exactly what Jesus would say. And so in your storm, he's saying, "I do care. I am with you. Silence. Be still. I'm here for you. Trust me. You are not alone." And there are times when that's all we've got. There are moments and seasons when that is all we can cling to. There are situations and circumstances where this is all we need. Silence, be still. And today I want to remind you, we have a promise-keeping God. We have a promise that you can stand on and depend upon at times like this. There's no fine print. There's no expiry. It's a promise that says you don't have to go at life by yourself. It's a promise that says I will never leave you nor forsake you. It's a promise that says you don't have to believe the lies around you. It's a promise that says you are not alone. You have someone cheering you on. You have someone who is with you forever. Jesus said it this way, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. You know, after the reset of my car's computer, everything since then has been fine. Maybe you just need a reset in your own life. A reset to remind you amidst all the warning signs, all the emergencies, all the things that could go wrong, you are not alone. So may you embrace that promise. May you walk in it. May you live with it. And may you experience the richness of what that promise means for every single one of us today. Let me pray for you. Jesus, I thank you for who you are. And God, I thank you for these amazing promises and the promise that you sent your Holy Spirit for us. And I thank you that this isn't something that we just have to hope for or wish for, but you say upon belief on you, the Holy Spirit resides in our life. And so I thank you for what he brings to us on a regular basis. And so today I pray that everyone watching may understand that they do not go at life alone, that Holy Spirit, you are there, that God, you are orchestrating things, you are moving, you are working, they can trust you. And I pray for those people who have started to believe the lies that you aren't present, that you can't do anything, that you don't care. I pray against that, and that they may understand, God, that you are fully present, that you fully care, and that you will walk this road with them. You will never abandon them. And so today, may that promise resound loud and clear inside of their hearts and minds. You might be watching here and just saying, you know what, I don't know Jesus fully, and I want what the Holy Spirit brings to my life, and in order to do so, I want to profess faith of Jesus. I want to start my journey with Jesus. If that's you, I'm just going to pray a prayer. I'm going to ask you to pray along with me. It's a simple way to start a journey with Christ. Jesus, I thank you for who you are. I thank you for coming into my life. I thank you for dying, for raising again, for offering me hope, forgiveness, and a next. And so today I see my need for you, and I ask you to come in, and I want to pattern my life after yours. And I pray that from this day forward, I may understand what it means to know you and follow you. I may understand what it means to have the Holy Spirit in my life, the advocate working for me. And God, I just pray that from today on, I may walk with you fully and completely. Lord, I pray over every individual, every family, remarriage, all those people who are watching right now, I pray that you just enter their homes and their lives. And as we're still dealing with times that are uncertain, as we're walking through days that we don't know what tomorrow brings, may we walk in the confidence of who you are, knowing that you go with us. And so I just pray strength, wisdom, guidance, and blessing upon them. And I pray that they may understand that they know that you are with them, that they are not alone. We ask this in your name, Christ. Amen. You know, if you prayed that prayer where you just said, Jesus, I want you to come into my life, can I just say, way to go. so proud of you for making that choice. Around here, we believe that following Jesus is the best decision anyone can make. And if you did pray that, can I ask you to text the word life to 555-888? We'd love to get a digital booklet inside of your hands. It talks a little bit more about who Jesus is. And also in that text, it gives you an opportunity to connect with one of our pastors if you so desire. I wanted to let all of you know that for this series, we have created a guided reading plan to go alongside Promise Keeper. It's a scripture plan that literally takes you through the promises of God in your life and who God is in your life. And in a moment, you're going to hear how you can find this, how you can engage with this, and how you can experience this. Let me say this. Thanks for tuning in. Know this, I miss you guys. I miss seeing you in person, but know that you are constantly prayed for. God bless. Have an incredible day.